This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
The truth of the matter is that John Kerry has what it takes right here to be president of the United States, and I, for one, intend to do everything in my power to make him the next president of the United States. And I ask you to join me in this cause for our country, for our America.
Senator John Edwards back home in North Carolina speaking to supporters. He ended his bid for the presidency this week and backed Senator John Kerry, whom he referred to as a friend. Well, our friend, senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning. And Senator Kerry, of course, was the big winner on Tuesday. Won 9 out of 10 states. Howard Dean won his home state of Vermont, a tribute to their former governor. There's 8 months before the November elections, one of the longest campaigns in which both major candidates are fixed, certainly over the past few generations. As you see it now, what does the sheer length of this campaign suggest to you about the next few months?
Well, 8 months is a very long time, and the first thing you have to say is that it simply allows more time for the unpremeditated thing to happen, some act of terrorism, some disaster, maybe some happy event or something that will change the voters' perspective. Then it also, I think, gives an advantage to the candidate who has the most money, mm-hmm. in this case President Bush, heading towards $200 million, who can still be buying television time when the Kerry campaign is panting for financial breath.
Mm-hmm. Kerry campaign says they want to raise $100 million. I mean, that's a lot of money.
So do I.
All right, you win. Let me ask you about Senator Edwards, because he managed to win just one state, South Carolina, but he certainly ran well in Wisconsin and Oklahoma and earned plaudits from people who review performances in presidential campaigns. I think overall he won the second largest number of votes. Is there any reason why he would not be the vice presidential candidate? Let's for any two or three reasons.
No, put negatively that way, there's no reason why he should not be. He has created a great impression around the country by the way he campaigned. I know there are a lot of Democrats who pray he will be the running mate because he speaks well and easily and speaks in populist terms. But that it's always very far from being a sure thing. Presidential candidates are chosen by something that's considerations that lie in the mind of the candidate that we don't always know about. As for example, it was Nixon who said that the number two on your ticket has to be ready to be your attack dog. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Nixon once suggested that the old George Bush be dropped from the second term ticket because he wasn't enough of an attack dog. Well, I don't know whether Senator Kerry also needs an attack dog, but there are others who are mentioned, Wesley Clark, Governor Bill Richardson, Governor of New Mexico, gives you Hispanic element. And then if you're thinking of the wish fulfillment for many voters, that would be Senator Hillary Clinton, although it's very unlikely that there would be two senators on the ticket.
Hmm. unless, of course, it's Senator Edwards.
Yes.
President Bush began his reelection campaign with some television commercials that have been controversial. One of them used some images flickering by of the World Trade Center on September 11th. I must say, I have not seen these commercials. I've certainly heard some clips from them. More, I've heard people complaining about them. Firefighters Union in New York, which it should be noted endorsed Senator Kerry last September, criticized the ads, as did some relatives of people who were killed on September 11th. Could the Bush reelection campaign have anticipated this kind of reaction?
Well, it could have, but it sure didn't. And it sure, this is what you call the tin ear in politics, when you don't anticipate what you ought to be able to anticipate. There are a lot of people who lost loved ones on 9/11. There are a lot of firefighters to whom it's almost a holy occasion. And to use it for electioneering for electoral purposes didn't strike them very well. Now, it is also true that the firefighters have already endorsed Senator Kerry, mm-hmm. but still it looked like something that you just don't do. But obviously there were some things not available to him. The aircraft carrier has now become a no-no. Mm-hmm. And as the White House says, he defines himself by the way he acted as a great leader on 9/11, so why not? Well, if they don't understand why not, you can't tell them.
Martha Stewart has been found guilty on 4 counts of conspiracy, obstructing justice, and lying to the government about her sale of Vimclone stock. And her co-defendant, stockbroker Peter Bukanovic, was convicted on 3 or 4 counts. Following the case, were you surprised by these verdicts?
No, actually. I wasn't surprised. I sort of asked about it when I saw the verdict was coming. I said, well, could it possibly be conviction? And something made me think it was conviction. I'll tell you, as Richard Nixon used to say, it's not the original act that sinks you, it's the cover-up. And for the average American now, an icon is brought down. Some will regret it. Others are glad to see a plutocrat get her comeuppance. I have only one thing to add for myself. Martha Stewart made all those millions as an arbiter of good taste. Lying, especially under oath, isn't good taste.
By the way, it wasn't exactly bad taste. I misspoke. 4 or 5 counts for Mr. Bukanovic's convictions.
Yeah.
Iraq's interim constitution was supposed to be signed on Friday. That did not happen. 5 Shiite Muslims on the governing council refused to sign at the last minute after conferring with Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani. What are the sticking points?
Well, the sticking points, they want to have more influence inside the multiple presidency. But I suspect the real sticking point is that the Shiites are a majority of the people, and they say if you're spreading democracy around the world, then majority should rule. And so the sticking point is how much influence you give minorities. I think what has happened with that, where they agreed to a compromise which fell apart after that great massacre during the Shiite the pilgrimage. I think they became less willing to entrust the security of Shiites to others, but apparently now it's going to be patched together again, and now they're saying Monday unless there's more trouble.
Mm-hmm. And there's something you want to talk about this week. The private files of the late Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun were opened this week. You knew the justice.
Yes.
Now that his papers have been published and reports are coming out on this network and certainly in newspapers, I'm wondering what you might have learned that surprised you about your old friend.
Well, they confirmed some things I knew from him, and then there are some things I didn't know. Very interesting thing that happened was that the postponement in 1972 of the Roe versus Wade decision was ordered by the Chief Justice Warren Burger. Blackmun believed, and now so do I believe, that it was deliberately postponed until after the election so it would not be a problem for Nixon during the election. And they therefore ordered re-argument, rehearings of it in 1973, which meant after Nixon had been elected. Mm-hmm. The other was the way in which in 1992, when they thought that there was a case of Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which was going to really overrule the Roe versus Wade decision. In the very end, 3 justices, starting with Kennedy, Souter, and O'Connor, turned around and sent a note to him saying, we've rethought this thing, and they insisted, to the immense surprise and gratification of Blackmun, Roe versus Wade was basically sustained.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dan Shore.